Do you ever wonder if you're being observed by extraterrestrials from the moon? Ladies and gentlemen, Rex Bear Leak Project, how the heck are you? Just another one of those fringe-licious moments. And the synchronicities connected to the moon and the information that I've been researching lately is extraordinary. I also started watching The Colony, which is a TV series that depicts a extraterrestrial race colonizing the planet. And when people get out of line, well, guess what? They have to work in the factory. Well, guess where the factory is? The dark side of the moon, baby. All right, so here's what's exciting and scary at the same time. I've been reading through The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2, that have been written by H.P. Blavatsky in the late 1800s. She translated ancient knowledge that is supposed to be from angelic beings, that predates time itself, that describes the cycles in the heavens, the creation of the planets, the creations of different beings, etc. And on the planet, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years ago, there were seven different locations and seven different beings that had a governing principality that governed over them, their energy, their aura, etc., from a specific planet. And it describes giants, people that have thin necks. It describes different colored beings from the moon. And one thing that I find fascinating is its description of the beings from the moon and the wise ones, the shadow beings, etc. And these moon beings have incredible power of magnificent proportions. Like, we're talking angelic type beings. And watching The Colony and the way that it depicts these beings that come down and take over the planet, they're almost angelic in the sense that there was this one scene when it described two of these VIPs, is what they were called, when they came down for the colonization of the planet. Well, two of them were killed in Dallas. So guess what these beings did to Dallas? They just completely leveled it out. They nuked it. It turned into a sheet of glass, they said, in the TV series. And it just reminds me of, in the Bible, when you read through the Old Testament, there are certain scriptures that depict these angels that come down, and they have authority to do whatever they want. I mean, there's one depiction that I remember, one scripture where it talks about how a father was willing to let these angels stay in his house, and he was going to give up his daughters. It's very, very bizarre if you go back and read it, but what's going on with the moon? I mean, I've seen these structures on the moon that, if you look at them in scale, are miles in size. I mean, they're just huge. The moon in and of itself is just an incredible anomaly. And when you look at this colonization of the planet with these extraterrestrials, it reminds me so much of what I was warned about when I was just a little kid with the martial law, with the checkpoints, the RFID tracking. And Robert Stanley brought a good point up the other day when he was describing how he thinks that the reason for this video surveillance, one of the clandestine reasons on a global scale, is so they can track extraterrestrials, kind of like they live. When they have certain glasses, they can see who's they and who isn't. So that's interesting, because the Homeland Security is a big part of this series. And these guys are hardcore. I mean, they're called Red Hats. It's interesting, they're not called Blue Hats, they're called Red Hats. They have red hats instead of the blue, like the UN. But martial law, they have curfews, they have banned books, you know, banned media, etc. You have to follow orders. If you don't follow orders, the drones can come get you, the Red Hats will come get you, they'll come pick you up during the day, and they'll take you to this factory. And the factory's on the moon. They're doing this weird stuff on the moon. And I just finished watching season one last night. It's at season two now. I'm kind of binge watching it. And at the end of season one, they capture one of these VIPs, but they never get a look inside of him. They just, because he's got this weird like suit, this very technologically advanced suit on. And you've got the resistance, you know, the resistance fighting against the regime, and even people in the resistance are saying, we don't have a chance. But they have that rebel heart. They have that instinct where they're going to fight. They don't want to be suppressed. They don't want to be imprisoned. They don't want to be little slave sheep. They want to have the opportunity to be free, just like they should have the right. They do have the right. They just have to fight for it in this series. But I'm telling you, when you watch this series and you look at these, even the older documentaries that came out in the early 80s and stuff portraying a takeover of the planet, a one world government. And it's done in a fashion where they say it's for peace, but in reality, it's for the masters, it's for the slave masters. The unity of this planet is going to need to happen in order for there, if there is some type of galactic federation. I feel that the Georgia Guidestones are more of a, that's what's going to have to be done in order for a certain federation of entities, in my opinion, on the galactic scale, kind of like Star Trek style, will allow the human race to be a part of. Now, I don't think that's a good thing by any means. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what's been going through my mind for the majority of my life, thinking about how one world order is going to need to be put in play before we really start colonizing the stars, at least on a public scale. They're doing a lot of stuff they're not telling us about. For example, what's up with Elon Musk supposedly launching a Tesla into Mars? Really? I mean, is it one of your SUVs or is it just going to be a sports car? How are you going to charge it, Elon? Come on, man. Talk about a marketing ploy. Yeah, we're launching rockets in space that cost us hundreds of millions of dollars to launch each time. And we're going to launch a Tesla to Mars. And people actually believe it. I don't know. It's bizarre. Really, dude? A Tesla to Mars? Timeshare. Would you like to buy a timeshare? Would you like to buy a timeshare? The maintenance fees are really good. $100 million rocket launch. We're going to launch a Tesla. But hey, you know what? If I was Elon Musk and it was my company, I might just do it too. Just to say, people are like, why did you launch a Tesla to Mars? There's no roads there, supposedly. There's no infrastructure there. Why are you launching a Tesla to Mars? Because I can. Now what? Because he can. So, hey, I get it. If you know, and it is a great marketing ploy. I just don't know if I buy it. So, another thing I found interesting is in the series Colony, it describes, there's these agents going and picking people that are going to be a part of the new World Order. And there's this one scene where there's this just regular Joe being interviewed by these two agents. And they said, our bosses have algorithms that decide who the new governors are going to be. And they describe it in a way of, oh, we want to give you guys, because this guy doesn't know what's going on yet. The occupation hasn't happened. He's still just working his regular job. This is, you know, going back before these aliens come in and take over with these giant ships. But these agents sit down, they're like, hey, we've got a job proposition for you. You're very good at what you do. He's in like some just low-level job doing like orders and stuff like that. But the algorithms picked up him as being the next governor of the block. Because there's walls over everything now. Walls, drones, etc. Where, you know, checkpoints, these walls are 300 feet thick, 300 feet tall. They're just, you know, huge, massive walls to keep people in. And before any of this happens, he gets offered this position based on algorithms. So once again, I'm thinking of the artificial intelligence construct, the algorithms, the supercomputers, the presets, the forecasting, the data sets and information that's compiled and funneled together in order to give certain people an edge on who they feel will be advantageous or a benefit to their cause. So will there be, you know, let me talk to you a little bit about these stands as far as the moon people to kind of confirm these moon beings. And I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors. If you guys want to surf the web anonymous, if you want to keep your information safe from big data spies, support our sponsors, virtualshield.com/leakproject. Click the link. They're offering a 50% discount for Leak Project listeners for their services. You can even disable your microphone and your webcam from possible voyeuring eyes and ears. Another thing you can do is try it for free. Try it for free for 30 days. I use it. It's awesome. virtualshield.com/leakproject. Support our sponsors and keep your information safe. All right. This is from Stanza 3. Stanza 3 that was translated from the Book of Zion, angelic knowledge that predates time. This is in reference to the time of the third generation discussing the Lords of the Moon. The great Chohans called the Lords of the Moon, of the airy bodies, bring forth men of your nature, give them their forms within. She will build coverings without males, females will they be. Lords of the flame also. That's stanza three. They went each on his allotted land, seven of them, each on his lot. The lords of the flame remained behind. They would not go, they would not create. So this is referencing the seven different locations, the seven different beings. And then there's still those that are not going down and allowing this. And this reminds me so much of the fallen angels and the war in heaven. And they're not wanting to go into these physical bodies. They like their ethereal bodies, and they're not accepting it yet. This reminded me of being plugged into some VR system, Inception style. So now we're at stanza seven. No, this is stanza six. Stanza six. Then the second evolved, the eggborn. The third, the sweat grew, its drops grew, and the drops became hard and round. The sun warmed it, the moon cooled it and shaped it, the wind fed it until its ripeness. The white swan from the starry vault overshadowed the big drop. The egg of the future race, the man swan of the later third, first male, female, then man and woman. So, what does that mean? Well, that's describing how the sun and the moon are actually working together, the feminine and the male aspects, the yin and the yang, creating this entity. Now, the second evolved, the eggborn. The first was the sweatborn. That means asexual, begotten, nothing before it. No fathers, no mothers. It was asexual. And then the next being the egg race, and then they merge. The self-born were the Chahayas, the shadows from the bodies of the sons of twilight. Neither water nor fire could destroy them, their sons were. That's stanza 7. And then stanza 10. The first on every zone, this is referencing the seven locations, the first on every zone was moon-colored, the second yellow like gold, the third red, the fourth brown, which became black with sin. The first seven human shoots were all of one complexion. The next seven began mixing. So at one point, you know, they're staying to their in their clans. They're staying on their allotted land. And then start, you know, messing around with other lands. You know, look at America. We're all mutts here pretty much. I'm a mutt. Big time. So got a lot of Irish mud in me. Irish and Scottish. All right. And Martian. Hello.
Nanny, nanny, nanny.
So, describing the first on every zone was moon color. There's people that say the moon colored people were the Atlanteans. So that's interesting. The Atlanteans, imagine the moon, their archetype, their energy coming and forming from the moon down to Atlantis. And then you've got this cataclysm, this global destruction. Maybe a few remain, but not on this planet. They went back to the moon. Maybe that's why we don't have more on the moon. Maybe there's things on the moon that we don't want to mess with. Maybe the moon in and of itself could have some type of like bio-infused nanotech outer shell to protect from anybody trying to enter. And I'm getting a phone call right now. I will decline that. So this is where it gets interesting. This is where it starts to talk about the giants. Then, after the next seven began mixing, this is reminding me of the Nephilim and the giants, because this says right here, once they started mixing, then the third and fourth became tall with pride, giants. We are the kings. We are the gods. They took wives, fair to look upon, wives from mindless, the narrow-headed. So remember, it describes the narrow-headed as not having consciousness almost. Like, they're mindless. So does that mean that they don't think, or does that mean they're just not connected to source? They don't have the spark, they don't have the spirit, or they don't have a certain part of the spirit. They took wives, fair to look upon, wives from the mindless, the narrow-headed. They bred monsters, wicked demons, male and female also kahado, with little minds.
Little minds.
They built temples for the human body. Is this thing still following me around? What a piece of crap. Right here, man. Okay. They built temples for the human body. Male and female they worshipped. Then the third eye acted no longer. So once they started worshiping the heathenistic things, well, then they stopped using their third eye. They stopped connecting to the higher vibrational realms. They started getting stuck in this fragmented reality of lower vibrations after they started worshiping themselves in the temple. And this is reminding me of these giant temples and stuff, and, you know, people worshiping idols that are described in the Old Testament, etc. Few remained, some yellow, some brown and black, and some red remained. The moon colored, gone forever. This is after this huge cataclysm. You know, the natives. Wow. The fifth produced from the holy stock remained. It was ruled over by the first divine kings. This is making me think of the Sumerian king list. The Sumerian king list, you can take back over 400,000 years, about 430-something thousand years, 432,000 years approximately. I'll double-check on that. But that's right there. That's describing the beginning. The fifth produced from the holy stock remained. It was ruled over by the first divine kings. The divine kings were given their powers from the gods, from these angelic beings. Some might say extraterrestrials. I mean, they're the same thing, if you ask me. And that makes me think, once again, of the colony and how the colony comes down, these beings come down, these angelic-type beings, these godlike-type beings, or at least they're depicted as godlike because of their powers and the wrath that they bring upon man if they do anything against them. Then they decide who gets the power here on Earth. Like, okay, yeah, we'll give it to you. I am really torn about eating meat now. I mean, especially after watching that again. There's been something that's been just messing with my mind. I'm just imagining, you know, chickens talking in English. They're like, please don't eat me.
Please don't put me in your crock pot. I don't want to be a taco. I don't want to be given out by the colonel.
Is that what chickens do? Or like a cow being like, me, rich. Me, don't eat me. Me. You can milk me, but don't eat me. Me. I mean, I don't know. You know, goats are walking around. Hey, buddy. I'm just saying. But then what happens if plants start talking to you, right? I mean, plants have a conscience too. And then you're like, well, then you just got to feed off the sun. And then what if the sun's like, hey, man, I don't want my rays being absorbed in your brain, man. Then what? It's a whole cluster of opportunities. Talk about the yin-yang, man. I can't even eat that strawberry, man. That strawberry is talking to me. But those cherries just look so good. Wait, what? Organic. It's got to be organic. All right. Here we go. So, the moon-colored ones are gone forever. Then the fifth produced from the holy stock remained. It was ruled over by the first divine kings. The serpents who redescended, who made peace with the fifth, who taught and instructed it. The serpents. Serpents throughout time, throughout history, throughout statues, structures, scriptures. Some look at the serpent as bad. Some look at the serpent as good. Some look at serpents as being both. Some look at multitudes of opportunities with serpents. The serpent brings wisdom. The question is it the serpent of darkness or is it the serpent of wisdom? They are all dragons of wisdom. This came out after the stanza. This is something that Blavatsky put in her work. She says, they are all dragons of wisdom, adds the commentary. Laha is the ancient term in trans-Himalayan regions for spirit. Any celestial or superhuman being, and it covers the whole series of heavenly hierarchies from an archangel or Dahani down to an angel of darkness or terrestrial spirit. Okay, this is interesting here. The expression shows in plain language that the spirit, guardian of our globe, which is the fourth in the chain, is subordinate to the chief spirit or god of the seven planetary genii or spirits. As already explained, the ancients had in their cryle of gods, seven chief mystery gods whose leader was exoterically the visible sun or the eighth and esoterically the second logos, the demiurge, the seven who have now in the Christian religion become the seven eyes of the Lord. Were the regents of the seven chief planets, but these were not reckoned according to the enumeration devised later by people who had forgotten or who had an inadequate notion of the real mysteries and included neither the sun, the moon, nor the earth. The sun was the chief, exoterically, of the 12 great gods or zodiacal constellations, and esoterically, the Messiah, the Christos, the subject anointed by the great breath, or the one surrounded by his 12 subordinate powers, also subordinate in turn to each of the seven mystery gods of the planets. Astrotheological. Big time. Have I not been saying for months that planets are beings of a higher order like the angels, and then they can create lower archetypes beneath them? It's described in the Secret Doctrine. It's like I must have tapped into this consciousness before I read this, because I've been talking about this off Leak Project too. I mean, I talked about this stuff before I started doing these podcasts. You guys probably talked about it too. It's not just me. I mean, I'm sure there's many of you that listen to this podcast who are like, yeah, I mean, I've definitely wondered about the energy archetype of the planets and if that planet can then fragment its consciousness into different parts of the planet. Trees, forests, ocean, drop in the ocean. A fly just flying away. A little bird. Eagle. Snake. Human. 20 human beings. An entire nation of humans. Imagine that consciousness. Imagine Earth consciousness being able to literally tap into multiple archetypes at once. And here's another thing that I find interesting. Gaia is the feminine aspect of this planet. We don't hear much about the aspect of this planet and the spirituality to this planet. We hear more about Jupiter and Venus and Mars and the sun and the moon than we do about our own planet that we live on. I find that very unfortunate and the sad reality. And Enki is reference to the ruler over this earth, Enki, Ea. What if Enki is the male archetype, the male energy of this planet, and Gaia is his counterpart? So the two make up this planet. So when you have institutions that are literally feeding off the planet and destroying the planet and taking out entire forests and, you know, nuclear reactors next to fault lines and wars and destruction and pain and suffering, and these institutions that have suppressed information for thousands of years and done very nasty things and disguised it as something that was told for them to do by a higher power. And I'm referring to certain religious institutions that have a lot of blood on their hands. So I'm sure you guys can do the math on that. Witch trials. How many people were slaughtered in the name of God and in the name of religion? How many people? And there's multitudes of religions that do this, guys. It's not just one. But if you think about one organization in particular that has an enormous amount of money, has an enormous amount of resources, has an enormous amount of real estate, and has been around for hundreds of years, and has suppressed tons of knowledge, and has a lot of that information tucked away in their vaults, what institution would you think of? And then, you know, you read through these texts that they attempt to put all of these different archetypes into a monotheistic pretext. If this planet, if the governing bodies of this planet would be Enki and his feminine counterpart, which you could call Gaia, or Ninsal? I can't remember his counterpart's name in the Sumerian tablets. I'll have to do some research again. There's so many different names. And then you look at the this planet's kind of like a zoo, right? I mean, it's described in these texts how there's seven different beings that are governed by seven different planets that come onto this planet. Literally, their spirit has a connection to a specific planet outside of this. And it's described in these texts. The seven chakras, the 7 days of the week, etc. The triad of seven, 777 being the perfect number of God. Could there be... And Saturn also is a very powerful planet and archetype and being. So if there's these battles in heaven and even battles on the planets, and if Earth is kind of like a zoo and there's these other forces that are attempting to smear the name of the original entities of the planet, like it's like, okay, let's go to that guy's house. And let's take over that guy's house. Or that person's going out of town for a few weeks. Like there's all sorts of stuff in Europe I don't know how the homestead rules or laws work out there, or squatting, just some ridiculous squatting rules. But I've heard of people going into somebody's apartment if they go out of town for a few months and they squat in their apartment, then they get back and they can't get back in their apartment. Just like, talk about welcome to the new world order. But that's kind of what I think of. It's like, okay, maybe these entities are coming to this planet. They're squatting here when somebody's taking a vacation, somebody's taking a nap. And they're like, okay, your host is the bad guy. We're the new host now, and we're going to make things right. We're going to change the castle, and we're the new rulers. Or we've always been the rulers, and that guy that said he's the ruler, oh, he's not. He's making that up. I mean, it's all twisted, folks. We usually hear about the information from the victors. How much information has been hidden? How much information do we have to find ourselves? I've read through numerous religious texts, spiritual texts, occult, mysticism, and there's so many underlying themes. Once you get a solid foundation, a blueprint of this information, then it just compounds. It's just more info, more intel, and it boom, 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 boom. It all just starts syncing up. And then when you start to know how to look for things in your path, like for example, I brought it up. If you guys have listened to me for a while, you know about how the started researching Inanna and Ishtar. And literally, the day after I start doing podcasts on Ishtar and Inanna, I meet Brady Shallow, the gal that does all my paintings behind me here. Incredible work. She drew a painting of Wonder Woman, and I fell in love with it. I met her. She gave me the painting. She gave me the painting, and I've bought a lot of paintings from her since then. But it was just so cool how the universe was like, oh, okay, you're going to start researching Inanna? Well, here's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is Inanna in Hollywood films. A lot of these Hollywood films, you guys, they're depicting these ancient stories and astrotheology and mysticism and spirituality and future events. And they're also projecting the future by creating the future through these movies and cartoons like The Simpsons, Family Guy, etc. How many things have happened in real life that were portrayed in these cartoons? Imagine these writers literally being linked to Akashic Records or a stream of information without them even realizing it. They're writing all this stuff down, and something is influencing them to write it down, and then it happens in real life. It's incredible. It's incredible. So when things like that start presenting themselves to you, and like, for example, this moon podcast I'm doing right now, the information that I've shared with you about the moon, Buddha, the Bhava Chakra, getting out of the wheels of destinies, and then Buddha's pointing at the moon, and that's supposed to be liberation, but I've wondered if it's like a soul matrix or something. Imagine that being like a soul matrix, but like a soul recycling center, okay, shoot you off into a different part of the solar system. I think it's a stargate now. I think it's a stargate in a metaphorical aspect. I think it's also an observation point like the Truman Show, very similar to the Truman Show. There's literally entities out there observing us right now. What a perfect place to be. Think about that for a minute. What a perfect place to be, hiding in plain sight. They're far enough away where they don't have to, you know, worry as much about being here if we were to turn on them, if we found out about what they were doing to us and we didn't like it. You know, I've got guests coming on the show that refer to aliens as gangsters because they've been abducted their whole lives with microchips and their family's been abducted their whole lives. It's a real deal, folks. When people have a lifetime of abductions and their kids get abducted and there's nothing they can do about it, isn't that gangster? Isn't that gangster? You know, here's another synchronicity. I was watching a Netflix show just a couple days ago about this really big guy. He's like 6'8", and he's had alien encounters his whole life. And he refers to them as alien gangsters because they abduct him against his will. They blank his memory. They pull stuff out of his leg, elements out of his leg, that they can't explain. And so many different elements compiled together, they just can't figure it out. But they can say that it's absolutely like a beacon. It's something that would be great for equipment to use as a tracking system, but it's very toxic as well. He says, you know what? He says, because the interviewer said, what would you say to these beings that abduct you? He'd say, knock it off. And he says, you know, they're gangsters. They'll do whatever they want. They'll pull you out of your house. And there's nothing you can do about it. Could that be like their base? Could the moon be one of their main bases? Could the moon also be just like anything else, a duality. Could there be good and bad? I mean, I don't. And these beings don't look at, like, they don't look at themselves as bad. It'd be like you going out and getting yourself, if you like steak, it'd be like you going out and having a steak. What about these scientists that do all sorts of genetic experiments on animals? Like those rats and mice that I was explaining to you guys the other day, where they would lock them up for 2 years in closed chambers and expose them to high amounts of radio frequency radiation, high levels for 18 hours a day, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. That's one of the many experiments they do. So maybe these beings are looking at the same thing. They're like, well, you know what? Sorry. We have more technology. We have a lifespan of 5,000, 50,000 years. We can live as long as we want. We can transfer our consciousness. We have spaceships. We have technology to do whatever we want. What are you going to do about it? What do the Native Americans do? What happens when an extraterrestrial race decides to become overt, not covert anymore, and show their ships, and show themselves, and show the abilities that they have, instead of keeping it to just select people and keeping it in a clandestine shadow fashion? Then what? Like, what happens if you see giant craft in the sky, and they start beaming people up, they start blowing stuff up, like Cloverfield style, or like the movie Cloverfield, or, for example, the series that I'm watching, The Colony. I don't know if you guys have seen the new Cloverfield Paradox, where they have this CERN technology in space, and they're attempting to create free energy with CERN. Well, guess what they do? They open up the pits of hell. They go into a different part of space, into a different dimension. And you get into the whole Mandela effect, and I think most of the Mandela effect, if not all of the Mandela effect, could be just a lapse of memory, miscommunication, psyop, media manipulation, etc. But there are certain things that I, like the Mona Lisa, for example. I remember the Mona Lisa being straight-faced, not smiling. Now Mona Lisa's got a smile on her face. That's just weird. And even if that's not a big deal, I still think that the CERN, this is what I think on CERN, folks, by creating so much power and energy and being able to focus that much energy on one tiny minute point, we live in a web that we can't see. Webs within webs within webs. So you're putting all that energy on one point, and it's causing a fabric in time itself, which is actually manipulating time. It could also cause some type of bleed over from another dimension. Because just like infinite space, I feel there's infinite dimensions and infinite space. Like fractals, just keep going. Just like put two mirrors together, right? You put two mirrors like that, and they just keep going forever. Fractals within fractals, creating fractals, creating fractals. Spiral is going in every dimension, in every way of flows. So a shadow of you, a shadow of your shadow, a shadow of your shadow, shadow, a shadow of your shadow, 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 etc. It's all, you know, kind of flowing together and growing and retracting at the same time. It's just fascinating. And you can kind of see these things when you really go into deep meditation and you close out your, you know, you close your physical eyes, you focus through the third eye. It's fascinating. We live in amazing times, folks. I'm feeling good. Absolutely feeling awesome. Hope you guys are doing awesome. Hope you're staying healthy. Make sure to exercise. Make sure to eat right. Also, make sure to support our sponsors, GetTheTea.com, for the best in organic supplements. As you can see, I've got a few of my organic supplements right over here. We just look at it. Quick shameless plug, ladies and gentlemen. The colostrum, amazing. Absolutely love it. Allicin C, amazing. D365 is awesome if you want to detox. Coral C is amazing. These things are awesome. Olive leaf. Allicin Advanced, 8th Elements, these things are great. Cordyceps, mushrooms, these things are amazing. Essential Bees. Now, if you don't want to take all that stuff, if you just want to do a couple, hold on a second. My eyeball is over here. If you just want to do a couple and you're wanting to stay, you know, as healthy as possible, and you're looking for ways to kind of keep your immune system boosted as healthy as possible as well. You know, once again, make sure to exercise, eat right, think right. And if you want to do supplementation and you want to just do a few of them, I think that the Allicin Advanced is absolutely incredible. That stuff is absolutely incredible. That flu that knocked out many people, it tried to get me. It tried a couple times, and I just wouldn't let it. I would not assimilate to it. But the Allison C's, I've been taking those, the Coral C's, and I haven't even been taking the colostrum, so I'm going to start taking that again. I took a little time off because I loved it so much. I was like, okay, I better slow down on this a little bit. But the colostrum for me has been great for digestive health. And matter of fact, probably a little bit too good because I put on a few pounds when I started taking that colostrum because everything just digested so well. I just wanted to eat everything. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, be excellent to each other. That's my shameless plug. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Be good to people. Be excellent to each other. Be the change you want to see.